After the addition of Soto, I wasn't sure if they'd get multiple. I wanted more. That would be my top priority. They did that yesterday, getting Tyler Rogers and Ryan Helsley, to me, giving up nothing to do so.
Mets are cooking right now, man, and I don't think that they're done. I'm basically convinced you guys are getting a center fielder. I would be stunned if you don't. I think something else is coming. Now, listen, the situation with Holmes, does he go to the bullpen? They're not hitting right now. There are some Met issues but then again, a lot of teams have issues right now because nobody's a perfect team. Massive move by the Mets. And what I like about this, now, they're very righty-laden, okay? But
what are you talking about, with the pen?
Yeah, with the bullpen.
Well,
outside of Soto.
And
I know Raley coming back. Yeah. I get that. But you look at do you consider Raley a high leverage guy?
I do. And by the way, even if you're not considering him like on the level of Diaz, Rogers, or Helsley,
which I don't think that they are.
Okay, fair enough. But you have Soto and Raley as your top two.
No question.
They got five. And that pushes down Stanek and Garrett. That's seven arms in the pen.
It went from a massive weakness to what I think is going to be a massive plus. No, I mean, what Stearns did yesterday was phenomenal. I'm not here to say that it wasn't. What I was going to say, though, why even though they do have the two lefties and we know that, but even their righties are very different. Like, you've got one guy coming down basically scraping his knuckles on the mound, and then you got the other guy, Helsley, coming in throwing 99.7 on the average. Now, his fastballs, actually, I didn't realize this, we know he throws gas. They've hit his fastball this year. His best pitch is his slider, and I guess opponents hitting like 070 against the slider. But I point that out because you've got so many different variations now. Soto coming out, throwing cheese as a lefty, sometimes a little wild, but throwing absolute cheese. We know what Diaz is, and now the additions just makes this team incredibly dangerous. Now the Phillies punch back. Yep. They got somebody who I believe is better. But the Mets' strength in numbers is undeniable. And it's been 40 years since the Mets won a World Series. This is what you do when you are taking the massive swing. Don't stop now.
One quick thing about the Phillies. They needed a closer. The Mets didn't.
Yeah, I get that part. That's true.
Phillies needed a power. They needed a closer. They got one in Duran. Yeah. And you could say that he might be better. He's not better than Diaz. And even if he is, the Mets now have Diaz, Helsley, who's a top closer himself, who's going to be the eighth inning guy or whenever they need him. And Rogers, one of the more reliable, consistent, good bullpen arms.
It's been
there.
Great this year, Rogers. Dude, phenomenal.
The one thing the Mets needed to do, if it was, I know we want other moves in the bat and center field, they had to upgrade their bullpen, and they did that in a major way. Now their bullpen is ready for the postseason. Does it mean they're going to win the World Series? No. Who the hell knows? Like, things will happen. But what it means is you cannot now question the Mets about what they did to fortify their bullpen going into the postseason. And their work should not be done. And I don't believe it is done. Martino just saying a little while ago on Twitter that the Mets are still after a center fielder. Now, there are different ways that they could go here. I don't know what the Rays are going to do. It sounds like reports are that the Rays are still conflicted, whether they're going to buy or sell. If Brandon Lau is available. Remember, the Mets gave all the... yesterday, can I tell you something? So I found out about the Tyler Rogers thing. I get home, had no SNY yesterday because the Mets 4 o'clock. So I'm whatever, going home with the wife and kid. So I'm checking social media, and I see the trade not in real time. And the first things that I see are, the Mets gave up a haul. For Rogers.
Talking about for Rogers.
And I didn't see what they had given up. I just saw that they got Rogers.
What, you think of like Mauricio or something? Yeah. You think of one of the... Yeah, I got you.
When I see Hall, my first thought was, what? Acuna or Vientos a reliever?
Yeah.
And then I go back and look at the names and I'm like...
Whatever.
Guys, come back to me here. That's not a haul. You prospect huggers need to get over it. Are you trying to win now? Or are you trying to build a good farm system? Gilbert, see ya. Budo, see ya. Tanwell, see ya. They gave up one prospect in Gilbert, who I don't even know what he's going to be. Who cares what scouts say? I don't care. You got to give up something to get something. So even if you give up a good prospect to get a good reliever in a win now, you go for it. And otherwise, two useless pieces to them now.
Yeah.
Budo and Tanwell are going to do nothing for them. But a hole? That's a hole? Come on.
And even Baez with the Helsley trade. Now, he's the one guy. He's number five or number six on their top 10 prospect list. But this is this is the cost of business.
Well, I don't understand what you want. You want to win a World Series?
Well, Met fans aren't complaining. The way it was framed in a hole, but the Met fans that I've heard from and what I've read, Met fans are absolutely ecstatic now.
I've seen report Passan, Martino, DeComo, Duquette. Mets gave up a lot. Mets gave up a hole. I'm sure some people, fans as well. I didn't read everything, but I'm seeing that. I'm like, what? You want to win or what? Say, yeah, whoever they want, take him. Get Baez, whatever. Yeah, maybe he has some tools. This is not about Pete Crow Armstrong and that trade. This is different because you can make different arguments about that. A center fielder, you know, were they really worth it of going all in? This team is worthy
of
going all in.
Yes, I agree with that.
It's the price of doing business, like you said.
I don't understand what, like, you have to understand. Well, it's one thing to understand it, but from a fan's perspective, you got to embrace the timeline. And there are times to go all in, and the Mets are 95%, like, you got to get the extra stick, and we'll talk about that more in a minute. Yeah. But and you've got to know when not to go in. There's a time where it's just too cavalier, and you try to speed things up, and it's the wrong time to do it. And there are times when it matches perfectly, and why I've been so pro-bat, you know, for the Mets, and of course, I knew the bullpen help was coming. That was a given. But the reason I've been talking about the addition of a bat for a while is, Look around the team. You know, again, these are things that we know, but this is the day to reiterate it. You don't know if Pete Alonso's back next year. Right now, you might not care as much because he's in one of the ugliest funks that you can be in. But Pete is a good player. Pete Alonso might leave. Lindor's not a kid. Nimmo's not a kid. Diaz's contract, not a kid. Manaea's contract, not a kid. Like, this is the time to swing. Now, you could also go out and bring back Jesse Orozco and Roger McDowell.
Yeah.
If the offense doesn't start hitting a little bit, it's not going to matter as much. But in terms of Stearns doing his job and putting this team in a position to win, I mean, if you're a Met fan and you're not loving this, then you're lost. You just don't know what the score is here. What are you talking
about?
And
that's the story today. I don't care about the sweep with the Padres. The results right now, like, obviously you want to win as many games as possible. They're still in first place, so the Phillies lost to the White Sox. Like, don't worry about the sweep. You could get into that, and yeah, there'll be a different layer of conversation. Okay, now is Pete, Soto, Lindor, Nimmo, they're going to put on their big boy pants in the postseason. But the Mets had to go out there and be aggressive and put together a bullpen that was World Series caliber. They have now done that. Not to mention, BT, let's not forget, a lot of these prospects that people are upset and saying, oh, this is Stearns didn't bring these guys in.
Yep.
This is a new regime.
That's a good point.
He's trimming the fat, cleaning it up. He's been evaluating the system since he's been here for now a year and a half, almost 2 years. So if you have to trust the new president to figure out what he wants, what he doesn't. And that's why I definitely think, to forward it now, there is more to come, whether it is Vientos or Acuna. These are also guys he did not bring in. I'm not saying he's trying to push them out.
Yep.
But when he's trying to build a World Series caliber team, parting with certain players is also, like, they've got too many infielders. So they still haven't fixed the McNeil, Beatty, Acuna, Mauricio, Vientos. Like, they still haven't fixed that issue. Maybe they don't need to, but maybe they do. Maybe they could get Brandon Lau if the Rays decide to sell. That would be my priority. If you ask me, okay, what else do you want? And they're still in on a center fielder, whether it's Robert, whether it's Mullins. Those have been the two that have talked about it. And I've gone back and forth, like, it was Mullins, eh. But if it's Brandon Lau, who is a better bat, I was going to say I think, but it's not even I think. He is a better bat than both Robert or Mullins. If you could get the better bat and put him at second, whatever you have to give to get him, Vientos, Acuna, McNeil, whatever, and then go get Mullins for cheap.
Oh, wow. Well, can you imagine that?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Dude, Mullins is not going to cost you anything.
Nothing. He's a free agent.
Yeah, so you're, like, prospect-wise, financially, nothing. Mm-hmm. Lau's going to be the big one.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to give up and clean up some of those pieces,
you
get the big bat in Lau, make the pieces fit better, and then go get the additional center fielder, as opposed to giving up more for Robert, who's not even, you know, it may be as good. We don't know what he is yet outside of the potential he has.
There's also a few other things here. So, what you just said about Stearns not having drafted these players, most of them, that's a very important piece of the puzzle here. You know, you talk about whether it's music, whether it's art, whether it's food, whatever it might be. I mean, there is an element of subjectivity. Now, there's also statistical data that can reinforce from a sports perspective what you're watching or just to kind of, you know, frame things a certain way. But talent evaluation is really the height of subjectivity. What I might view is, like, think about what we talk about with the Yankees, whether it's Dominguez or Spencer Jones. We'll get to the Yankees in a bit. You and I disagree on some of that stuff because it's subjective. Now, we also disagree on some of the things with the Mets here, not in terms of what they brought in, but Stearns is looking at his entire crop of minor leaguers, and he's like, all right, I didn't draft this guy. His skill that somebody else valued is not quite what I placed the emphasis on. So I think that that's incredibly important, so I'm happy you bring that up. The other thing, too, is the imminent work stoppage that is staring us all down the barrel of the sport. So, again, I'm talking about Pete next year and the other elements of why the Mets have to go for it now, and they are so far, and it's impressive. But also, in the year 2027, Lindor's 2 years older, Diaz probably gone. I mean, it's just Nimmo older and just not the same player. So it's not only about going for it in 2025, it's got to be an eye for this work stoppage, which is indisputably coming in 2 years. You take your biggest swing. They're 90% there. I don't think they're done. I think they go nuts today as well. And I think Met fans right now, you got to be pumped, obviously. Yeah,
love it. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody will get to the Yankees, obviously, a ton there, not just from the game last night, but also their, you know, inactivity, what they need to do, what they're going to be doing here, who they want to par with, who they're looking to get. One more thing on the Mets. It's rare that as a fan, you're in alignment with your organization, right? You want it to be the case. Like, you have your beliefs about your Yankees or Jets, whatever it may be, whatever team
you're rooting for. Sure, sure, sure.
And I had my thought on what I would want the Mets to do and just certain philosophies and beliefs. One thing that I've always believed in is building a bullpen is easier in season. You never know with these guys. By the way, you don't even know now. Like, they could, Rodgers all of a sudden could fall apart. Who knows? They come to New York, maybe they can't handle it. You have no idea.
Yep.
Bullpens are so fickle.
Look at Devin Williams.
Exactly right. But, which is a whole other issue, by the way.
We'll get to them.
But when you're going to build a bullpen, as opposed to loading it up in offseason and free agency, I would much rather build everything else, figure out the bullpen, see how it plays out during the year, and then see what's available at the deadline. I love everything about this. Obviously, there's more to go here, and it doesn't guarantee anything. Doesn't guarantee a division, doesn't guarantee a World Series berth, it doesn't guarantee anything. Not even a playoff berth, as a matter of fact. Thought the Mets were going to get there anyway, but these moves guarantee nothing other than that you could finally, as a fan, sit back when it's all said and done and say, I know unquestionably Steve Cohen, David Stearns, the Mets organization has done everything they could to put this team in a position to go win a World Series, and that is everything you could ask for as a fan.
It is. This is what Mets fans have been screaming about forever, calling up this station forever. You know, hey, let's do this, let's do that, get this guy, get this guy, hire this guy, fire this guy. I mean, it's really basically been, I know there's been a couple of good years, obviously, in the 40-year drought, but for the most part, it's been a checklist of complaints, whether you voice it to us or Mike and Chris or whomever. I mean, it has been a tough road for the Met fan. Now, there's no assurance that this results in a World Series. I get that. But the more that you line up the assets here, the more that you go for it, the bigger swing you take, you know, it just increases the odds. And the volatility of the bullpen, building it in season, I like that thought because I don't know, maybe outside of kickers, especially our kickers with these teams, but like the bullpen arms, and I don't mean the closers, the Marianos, the Eckersleys, the Bruce Sutters, even a Roscoe, you know, for a couple of years, guys like that. You know, the middle arms, the setup, but the high leverage guys, they're a dime a dozen, and you just don't know which way is which. So as we get to these calls here, understand that the players, and even Helsley had a couple of blown saves, whatever, but if you do build it in December and January, you don't know who you're getting. At least now you know the guys you're bringing in are, one, healthy, and number two, in the midst of really good runs, which should set you up for, I mean, a lot. The Mets bullpen has a chance to be phenomenal.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Matt is calling from East Rockaway. What's up, Matt?
Gentlemen, how we doing? Sally, baby, we're going for it.
There you go, Matty. Yes, finally.
Hey, Sal, I got a question for you. Now that we have the bullpen, at this point, you would think David and Steve Cohen, they're pretty much going for it. They're putting all their marbles out there. Why don't, if they want Kwan, right? Why don't we give whoever they want, and we get Ramirez too? Mauricio, give them all.
Matt, this is where the first call.
Come back to earth, Matty. Jeez.
Come on.
I get it. You're intoxicated by the possibilities. But so you're going to get Kwan and Ramirez.
I thought I was asking a lot for Lau and Cedric Mullins, which I do think is realistic. The Guardians, the reports were yesterday, they were looking to actively trade Kwan and Bieber. And it sounds like Bieber, I don't know if it's official yet, Sounds like Bieber would be going to the Blue Jays,
Toronto,
in fact.
Yep.
So we don't know about Kwan yet. They're likely not trading Ramirez. I don't want to say never, but it doesn't seem like they're going to trade
Ramirez. He's not getting dealt this
time. And even if he were, you don't have what it takes to get Kwan and Ramirez. Like,
You actually might, but I think that would be almost too reckless. You get the Sproats, you dip into the top relievers.
I mean,
there's a way to do it.
Dude, you'd have to give up Mauricio, Vientos, Acuna, Sproats.
But you would do it for that, right?
Ramirez? I just think that that's ridiculous. You get to pillage the farm for two players.
Dude, Ramirez is basically a Hall of Famer. Quad is exactly what you need.
Yeah, I get it, but there's no guarantee. So you can load up all you want. Like, to me, I'm not doing it. I'm not getting ridiculous here. I'd rather have some of the younger arms in the farm system, and I'd rather keep Mauricio.
You prospect hugger, you?
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, man. Look in the mirror. You just called everybody else out for hugging him.
That's got to be the first call. Like, oh, yeah, now let's go get these. No, Lau or a center fielder? Sure. Come on. Ramirez is not getting traded.
He's not going to get traded. I don't think so.
All right, let's get some more in here. Hector is in Washington Heights. What's up, Hector?
What's going on? The Mets is up. That's what's up. I'm so excited, Sal, and I'm right there with you. Listen, these number retirement ceremonies, the alumni games, all that stuff is cute. But you know what I want? I want that parade of the Canyon of Heroes. And this league is wide open. And we've been asking for David Stearns. We said, okay, now the eye is on you. What are you going to do? The team sucks with running a scoring position. What are you going to do with running a scoring position? And to me, last night, he hit a double with men on base. Or let's say he had a single and drove in two runs. But guys, we can't stop here. I am not looking for that bases clearing double. I am looking for that grand slam. If you could go out there and get me a pitcher and upgrade that center field and get a bat without giving up a Vientos, maybe you trade Acuna or maybe some other minor leaguers that people will lose their minds just because they heard of their name and they sounds good, but we don't know what the heck they're going to be, then you hit that grand slam.
Now, I got a question, Heck. When you say pitcher, you're talking about a starter, obviously, right?
A starting pitcher. Yeah, go make the move for Alcantara. Why not?
He can help him now. But again, look, I don't even know if he would be the difference. If Alcantara were better, if there were a prominent, thank you for the call, Hector. We appreciate the energy. It's always good to hear you fired up and happy for a change. If Alcantara was at the top of his game, or forget about him, if there were somebody else that were a dominant, bona fide ace right now, that to me would be a different story saying, hey, you need this piece. This guy's in the midst of a great season. Whoever it may be, go even further all in. Who's the guy? Like, it's not, to me, it's not Alcantara.
It's not Cease. I actually think Alcantara fits that more than anybody else that you could get.
Because
you put him in
that
Queens with 40,000 people and that energy, rather than 6,000 in Miami, that guy's answering the bell.
I know, but it's still.
Same with the Bronx. He's answering the bell. He's sick. His stuff is sick.
I know that, but there's still an unknown about him, BT. I mean, what's his ERA this year? His ERA is.
It's high. It's been pretty high.
Yeah, it's 6.36.
I understand that.
The guy's got a 6.36 ERA. I know he's been better as of late, and I know he has been a great pitcher. But my point is, yes, I would take him and the potential of him. He's not a sure thing. And nobody's a sure thing, but there's more of a gamble with him wondering what the hell's going on. He's got a 6 ERA. That's not the ace I'm talking about, like where Justin Verlander at his peak gets traded at the deadline, or Randy Johnson gets traded at the deadline.
Randy Johnson.
You know what I'm saying? Like, where's that top?
Yep, or Coney even back in the day.
Whatever.
Yeah, I understand that. I would
Sabathia
agree.
When he went to the Brewers. Like, give me the top ace that you got to give up four or five top prospects for, like three top 10. Give me that ace. I'd rather part with the prospects for that. With Alcantara, you're probably going to have to give up a lot. He's under control and he's got the potential, but there's also an unknown element. So I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't be opposed to adding another starter. I don't think it's a priority. I wanted the bullpen. As a matter of fact, we could further it and say, what do you think is more important in today's postseason with the way Major League Baseball has evolved? Like, most starters aren't going deep. You see what the Dodgers do, even with the team that's it's like one arm after another out of that pen. I'm going to this guy. I'm going to this guy. That's how you win.
We've seen openers.
Yeah.
In the
postseason, right?
I mean,
it's about the bullpen.
Yeah. So they need a bat, though. That's to me.
They're trying to get a center fielder.
And I think they're going to get him. I really do.
But is, like, if they get just Mullins, is that good enough?
Honestly, with the other moves, provided Soto's okay, and provided Lindor and Pete wake up from their hitting comas.
No, I'm talking about just the deadline.
I would deem that enough. I myself would.
I don't think I would. I can't go nuts about it. It's. I'd be satisfied.
He's better than Tyrone Taylor.
But I don't want to just be satisfied. I want to be Thanksgiving Day
fat.
I want to be full. I got to take this belt off and put the sweats on.
Little Al Bundy, open up the pants a little bit.
I want to be napping on the couch full. And the way to me to do that, there's a couple of different ways. Robert, I think, would get me excited. Because he's got the potential. See, Mullins, we know what he is as a bat, right?
Yep.
He's not going to be a great bat. He's an upgrade, solid player. I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Lau could be a difference-making bat. If you get Lau and Mullins, now you really, that's, to me, the home run move. If you can't do that and you get Robert, I think that's got the potential to be the home run move.
I agree with that.
So that's why I'd be okay with either Robert or the combination of Lau and, let's say, Mullins, or even Bader if you need to go last.
Put it this way, though. To me, now, I don't know that the Mets can do business for another 100 years. I'm not so sure that they ever have quite an impact like they had with Cespedes back in 2015. Right. But Lewis Robert, to me, in theory, potentially, is the closest, you know, that like replication of coming in for 2 months and, you know, Mullins is not banging 11, 12 home
Bingo.
Runs. Can Robert do it? Yeah, he could. He can also hit 170 and strike out 35% of the time, but he's on a run, and you get him in a lineup with better bats and, you know, a real team. That's the guy for sure. They're not done. I think something's happening with our show, and we'll get into the Yankees coming up. Something better happen on our show with the Yankees or before 6. I really believe the Mets are still going for it.
By the way, like, you could follow the reports and think, maybe they get Robert, maybe they get Mullins, but maybe there is something. That's why I keep bringing up Lau, whose name came up the other day. If all of a sudden the Rays, in an hour from now, decide to say, you know what, we're going to be sellers, or there's a package that the Mets offer that is Vientos, Acuna, Beatty, whatever, you know, maybe a younger pitcher that says, all right, well, we'll trade Lau, who's, by the way, under control for another year. Things can change, man. You don't know. Then they could go big game hunting. Like, I don't think it's an impossible thought to think that it could be bigger than just some of the stuff that you're seeing. Maybe it doesn't work out that way. I would bet at the very least the Mets come away, at the very least, with the center field.
They're getting somebody else. I have no doubts about that. Now, listen, back in 83, I mean, did you think the Cardinals would dangle Keith Hernandez to anybody? Now, there was no WFAN, the reports, there was no social media, there was none of this, you know, crazy energy, which, by the way, is fantastic for the sport. It really is. Like, so many times you think about this, and I remember, like, this used to frustrate me, just to be very candid, doing the national show. Like, the only time Tiki and I were really able to talk baseball was when there was controversy, like a steroid situation or the Astros cheating scandal or a potential work stoppage. Let's face it, and Jets and Giants camps are going, and the boys are there this morning, and the boys will be there later. Good stuff. Awesome. We got you all day. And yesterday we announced the extension with the Giants, which is great for us, and the partnership is phenomenal. But it's baseball, and right now on a national level, which you very rarely get, we're nuts about our baseball, but nationally, baseball's taken over the last couple days. It's fantastic.
It's been phenomenal. BT and the Mets right in the thick of things. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan. Lawrence is calling from Oklahoma City. What's up, Lawrence?
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you. What I'm most excited about with the Mets is they still haven't played their best ball of the year, and I feel like once the playoffs come around, even with no additions right now, they'll be playing hot and things will be a lot better. But like you said too, Luis Roberts, man, he's only 27 and that would be quite the addition, but I really think we need him more. Cedric Mullins, we got to improve center field. We don't want to swing halfway. And one more thing, thank God it's not the Wilpon days. Now we can actually get pumped for trade deadlines. Like, we have a real team. There's no need to pillage the farm system. Like, let's just keep going to the playoffs every single year and keep building this up. Don't pillage the farm system. Let's go, Mets.
Yeah, and by the way, it's not, and thanks for the call, Lawrence, it's not about pillaging the farm system. The Dodgers should be the model, right? Now, it's not always about, okay, well, if you follow that, you're going to win multiple World Series, whatever. But that's the model where you build up the farm system repeatedly, BT. If you're doing it the right way, it's not, oh, you traded your 3 of your top 10, and now what? If you're doing it the right way, you continue to churn out top 10, top 5 prospects. That's the idea. You pick the ones that you should move on from. You pick the right ones that you should keep. You replenish the farm system. You complement it with free agency. You make some smart trades. That's how a functioning organization should work while trying to win a World Series each and every year. I think that's where the Mets are trying to get to.
Yeah, and then once you get respect around baseball, I mean, like, in the inner workings, the general managers, the talent evaluators, that, you know, you have a good system and that you are developing players, well, now more teams are willing to do business with you, and that opens up a completely different avenue of who you could obtain. Now, again, we'll get to the Yankees coming up later, but the Yankees' reluctance to part with some of their top players over the years is one aspect, but the other aspect is when they do part with them, they really don't do much elsewhere, and other talent evaluators know that. So the Dodgers have that trust. The Astros have built up that trust equity. And, you know, this is the early stages of the Mets trying to do the same thing.
The Astros are a great example because they maybe not spend the way that the Dodgers, Mets, or Yankees would, but they continue to lose guys in free agency, and they continue to turn it around. There's a lot of turnover. The Rays are an excellent example of that.
For sure.
They never spend, but yet how are they always good to the point where they're winning 80-plus games or 90 games? All right, maybe they have the down year. They have no big names at all. They got guys you never heard of before, and yet they continue. And this has been going on for years where they just turn it over and churn out prospects and guys that come up and produce at the big league level. That's the idea, how you build a team. Now, you could do it even greater with the Mets or Yankees because you have the finances in addition to, ideally, the smarts that a team like the Rays has.
Well, like the Dodgers. You mentioned them this whole thing. I mean, they go out, they take bets away for the Red Sox, massive contract. They pay Ohtani, massive contract. Take it for the Angels. Freddie Freeman was on the Braves, massive contract. But then they
Glass now.
A bunch of pitchers. Blake Snell.
All the guys from Japan that they get.
No question. Yamamoto. I mean, there's so many ways, but what they are very effective at is accenting the rest of their roster with some of their own. And that, you know, the Mets got Soto, the Mets paid Lindor, you know, the Mets have a few young players who have gotten major league run who are interesting. I don't think anybody's a superstar, but Vientos and the Acunas and all the names, interesting enough where that's what they're growing into.
Yeah, and by the way, that's also the prior regime. Like, we're just getting started here with David Stearns. Jason is in Brooklyn. What's up, Jason?
Hey, Jay.
Hey, boys. BT, oh, man, totally with you. Thank God we're not talking about football and some dumb offensive line set. The only reason I want to hear about football now is if someone of significance gets hurt. Other than that, let's get these bats going. I'm really pumped up about this, more so that they're trying something. You know, I know, Sal, you kind of alluded to this in previous regimes when the idiot Wilpons owned the team. They wouldn't try. Oh, no, it'll fix itself. It's fine. We're good how we are. We're confident. No. You can't be like Beltran. You got to take the bat off the shoulder and try. Oof. These guys think, okay, well, at least Stearns tried. And I also think, again, Sal, I know you just kind of mentioned this, but gotta give credit to the regime with Stearns and Cohen. They go out. They make moves. They might not be these big ticket ones. Hopefully, there's one coming still. But I'm excited. They're trying. They were aggressive, and Sal, you hit the over on the trades.
Yeah, and thank you for the call. Not yet, because they made two yesterday. We did the three. I was saying over three. We got to finalize that with a couple more moves here. But you mentioned the Wilpons. This is not about the Wilpons even. Go back as recently as 2022. Steve Cohen owned the team. Billy Epler didn't show any sack by going out there and trying to upgrade this team. And you know me, I like Billy Epler.
Yeah.
Darren Ruff and Daniel Vogelback didn't cut it. They didn't cut it. Met fans have been sitting on this for 3 years. They had a team that was worthy of going all in, and they came up with Darren Ruff and Daniel freaking Vogelback. Here we are, fast forward, new regime. There's a new prince in town. His name is David Stearns. They aren't messing around. They believe in this team. Now, to his point, it doesn't mean that these guys, Helsley or Rogers, whoever they get for center field, are going to pan out. You don't know. But I respect going for it. When you see a team that is worthy of investing in, you better go for it. And Stearns and Owen have done that.
And think about this too, right? So while I don't think that you guys have done, and you don't think that you guys have done in terms of a center fielder, right? And trust me, if you listen to the first 35 minutes of the show, I mean, I'm firing the platitudes. Like, the Mets are doing a great job right now. But there's also the reality of this. If they don't get the additional bat, there's a good chance you're calling us up in September and October, more specifically, and saying, boy, they took a big swing, but they didn't go all in. You need one more bat.
Yeah, they've come this far, and that's why I think that they're going to do it. So, but there was always that thought process prior to yesterday. Like, I don't know about Stearns. Is he going to be a guy that's going to hold on to the prospects? Is he going to be a guy that's going to be, you know, he operated in a smaller market with Milwaukee? Well, now that should be put to bed a little bit, to the point where we both, and I think everybody else, we've said this for a while anyway, expecting the Mets to go big here.
That's been reported.
That's the feel like we fully expect. Instead of like, oh, pretty please go get a bat, it's they're going to get another piece today. Just what is it? Could they end up getting a starter and a bat? And a center fielder? Could they get two back? Like, could it be Lau and a center fielder? Could it be a depth star? Like, I wouldn't put anything past this regime.
Well, listen, I said, I think it was the week that you were off there. I said about Bolt Jams. The first show that I did coming back from Florida, to me it was The subject was, it's now Cashman versus Stearns, because you're going to be chasing the same positions, and here we are. You know, the Mets got a couple of relief arms. Yanks have done nothing yet, although I do think that they will do multiple things, but until they do it, they haven't done it yet. But the point is that I already said, like, we already know what Cashman is. Cashman has got a Hall of Fame resume, and I know we're kind of tired of the same stuff. I get it. I've said it. You've said it. We all know it, that the Yankees just do the same things wrong too often.
Yeah.
But he's a Hall of Fame GM. He's won a ton of championships, right? That's indisputable. And if you don't give him that, then he's just a cat. You're being unfair. Stearns, we know that Stearns is a good GM. We knew that when they got him, because he did it with the Brewers. What I wanted to see was, is he going to earn those New York GM stripes? Because that's a different level of acknowledgement. Yeah, you could be a good GM at Houston and Milwaukee and St. Louis Cardinals and the Pirates and the Rays and be crafty and all this stuff. But when it's time to swing, and it's time to swim with the big boys, will he be adaptable enough? That's the other word I use with him a lot. The adaptability of Stearns as he grows into this role. Will we see him grow as a general manager? And the answer so far is yes.
And the other now element to that is, okay, well, we've seen the aggressiveness so far. Let's see what happens before the deadline finishes at 6 p.m. Then it's going to be about evaluating what he brought in and how it worked,
sure,
how it pans out, how the guys that he sent out, like, that's the next level to it. But the first level is showing some sack and being willing to trade some of these prospects. And by the way, don't sell the Yankees short. We'll get to them coming up. You said the Yankees haven't done anything yet. They did get Austin Slater yesterday, who will make his debut. He's in the lineup.
You can play today?
Austin Slater is in that lineup.
Well, you know what he hits against lefties, right? Mock him if you will. And by the way,
is a lefty even pitching today?
He's got to be.
I don't know, because it doesn't seem like it's a lefty
lineup.
You have
the Yankee lineup?
I do.
Let's hear it real quick.
I'll bring it back up here. Hoff, can you find out who's pitching for the
Rays? Everybody hating on Volpe, I get it. I mean, that home run, I almost don't want to hear about the Volpe stuff anymore. We'll get to that coming up.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Massive home run off a stud.
Ben Rice.
Fairbanks is a stud.
Ben Rice leading off. Goldschmidt.
It's got to be
Bellinger. Stanton. Ryan Pepiot. Who'd you say it is?
Ryan Pepiot,
and he's a righty.
He's a right-handed starting pitcher.
Yeah, I figured that. Rice leading off,
Slater.
Goldie,
right.
Bellinger, Stanton, Jazz, Dominguez, and then Slater seventh. McMahon in there as well, and Volpe batting ninth.
All right, we'll get to him.
We'll get to the Yankees. There's a lot with them as well.
Now we incorporate the Yankees. I mean, if there was, you know, a DVD, a condensed version of what the 2025 Yankees have been about. I mean, obviously, Judge didn't play last night, of course, so that's I'm stretching the boundaries a bit, because Judge has been phenomenal. Without him, they'd be awful. But, I mean, last night, you got it all. I mean, you forgot Austin. Well, how many outs are there? You had another error by Volpe. You had Volpe's home run. You had the closer serving things up. You had a balk. You had extra innings. You had a lot, right? Okay, so here's the thing. I'm not getting on the air defending Anthony Volpe's defense. It's indefensible. He's in his own head. You don't need to be a sports psychologist to acknowledge that. He is an absolute train wreck right now at shortstop. We all know that. But this notion that the Yanks are breaking Anthony Volpe, or Anthony Volpe is busted entirely, is fiction. If you are a mental mess and unable to do one part of your job, which clearly he cannot do right now, you're not hitting 6 home runs in your last 44 bats. You're not hitting a slider that's basically 5 inches off the dirt with one hand off a stud closer in Fairbanks if you are not equipped to fight through this. So all the Volpes, it's not even slander, because it is a true reaction to how bad he's been in the field. But I got to tell you, I think it's been hijacked to a point that's now unfair, and not really, more importantly for me, Sal, representative of where he is as a player. He stinks as a shortstop right now, but he's hitting well, and he's hitting clutch moments. So the thought about sending him down, to me, it's nonsense. They're not breaking Anthony Volpe by having him play every day. That's not the case.
He's hitting .217.
I understand that.
What's his OPS?
Okay, I don't care. I don't care.
No, I don't.
No, you know, the OPS, I like the OPS. I don't care. It is my thing.
700 OPS.
I don't care. About, which, by the way, is only 47 points lower than Lindor.
Yeah.
I don't care about OPS.
Well, you don't want to compare the two.
I'm not. What I'm saying is, the OPS is my favorite offensive stat. Clearly, I referenced that, of course.
Well, pick me a good one that Volpe has, and I'll be
I'm going to. How about here's the stat that I'm going to pick you. He's got 6 home runs in his last 44 at-bats, which is why I'm going to run him out there more and more and more and more. He's going to finish with 23-24.
So he's not
a home run hitter.
So that's my point. So then why are we hanging on to this? Now, let me just say, before we get into this debate, because I do want to preface it, how could you not feel great for Volpe last night with that moment?
Phenomenal moment. Awesome moment. By the way, I was hoping that McMahon almost popped out. I wanted to give Volpe another chance to get the walk-off. That's how I was almost rooting for that.
He needed it, and the feel to me was at least, okay, well, he hits this big home run.
Yeah.
Maybe now that can carry over. But he's hit a bunch of home runs, to your point, recently, and it's not carrying over. He can't make a routine play. Like, you don't think he's broken? I do. I would never want that guy playing shortstop for my team if I'm trying to win.
But okay.
He's a minor leaguer right now. That's my thought. So,
I got you. If you're broken, then you produce nothing. Because think about the word. If a clock is broken, it is inoperable. If this microphone is broken, you can't hear a syllable. So he's not broken. That's incorrect. He's a mess. He's defensively lost, whatever words you want to use. He is not a broken baseball player because the contributions are still there. Granted, it's actually not even one side of the ball because the other night he stole third base. He popped up on the errant throw. He scored. You know, it's not just the 452-foot home run that he banged off the, not the scoreboard, but that signage in right center the other night. It's not just the one-handed, you know, missile that he hit last night off for great, great. Fairbanks, his numbers are insane. He's very hard to hit. And it's not just that. He's doing other things. I'm not saying that he's playing good shortstop. Indefensible, substandard. It's the worst shortstop play. He's worse than Glaber was when Glaber was playing shortstop permitted for the Yankees right now. But he's not broken. That is not true. When you're broken, you're useless. And he's not a useless baseball player. He's a wreck of a defensive player. That's what's happening.
Sounds like I'm sitting here with Aaron Boone.
No. Is he not hitting the baseball sound?
When I say broken, like me personally, I can't speak for everybody else. When I say broken, I mean he shouldn't be playing shortstop at the major league level right now. And that's why I would send him down to the minors to get him right because of the potential. You know me, I believed in Volpe even more so than you, thinking of the high-end side.
That's true. Going back.
Just because he hit 6 home runs in his last 5, whatever it is, that does nothing for me. I'm sorry, it does.
But he's got to do something for you. No. I mean, how many home runs are hitting 6 home runs in 40 at-bats?
Doesn't matter. He's not a home run hitter.
I understand that.
It's not sustainable.
But he's going to have 20-something home runs.
I'd rather him catch the effing ball and throw it to first base like a real shortstop than hit the 6 home runs. So I would be okay if you were hitting 217. Now, obviously, you don't want him to hit 217. I'd be okay if you were hitting 217, batting ninth with no home runs, but playing a major league shortstop. He's not. So what would be more important to me, catching it regularly, especially the routine plays, and throwing it regularly to first base. That to me is more valuable, more important than the home runs. Huge home run. No doubt about it. Nobody's taking that away. He's not supposed to be a home run hitter. I'll take the home runs, but the other things to me are more important. And just because something is broken doesn't mean it's not completely useful. It's broken. It needs to be fixed. He needs to be fixed.
Well, here's the thing, though. Listen, would I prefer the 6 home run, and I'll use the word barrage, that he's it's not a Judge barrage, but it's 6 home runs and 40-something at-bats is pretty good for anybody, let alone Volpe. I would almost prefer 6 doubles the gap the other way and a couple of
Me
more
too.
Steals. I know. So I'm not hanging too much onto the home run prowess because I don't think he'll ever be a 30, you know, low 30s, mid-30s home run kind of guy. It's my hope that eventually he becomes a 35 steal, 270-ish hitter, which I don't know that he'll get there, you know, 20-plus home runs, and gold glove defense again. So we're not having two entirely different conversations.
Right.
All I'm pushing back on, listen, when you are, and I know that there's elements of being broken, but when you are broken, I just think it's been portrayed inaccurately by too many people, and I got to push back today. If you are broken, you are physically busted, and you are mentally shot. And if you are mentally shot and physically busted, you're not getting in the batter's box last night with 40,000 people booing you all night, which they were, and the boos have been trickling in, rightfully so, and hitting a home run to tie the game. That salvaged what would have been, I think, the most disgusting loss of the season.
Could he have just threw the ball to first base cleanly?
Like, he could have, like, but that's
night,
something
every
else.
Every night's the same thing. Literally every night.
I know.
We just talked about it yesterday. Okay, Boone doesn't want to give him a day off. You wanted to give him rest.
I did.
You wanted to give him rest. I said send him down. What happens? They play him. He makes another error.
I understand.
Eze, that's my new nickname for him, Eze. All he does is make the easiest plays. He turns them into errors. That's clearly a mental thing. Like, I don't get it. You feel good that he hit the home run. You're right, it's a big home run. And with a player that lack, like, I'm not saying that there's not potential still there. I'm not saying there's not something there that could be saved. I still believe in Anthony Volpe. So that home run is a part of that, right? Like, look at what could be. I need him to catch the ball and throw it. I don't know how you can run him out there again today and expect anything different. Like, the fact that you make an error every single game, you mentioned the six, what is it, 6 homers in 5 days?
Yep.
And how many errors does he have in that?
I think they showed a stat, yeah. six home runs, 5 errors in the last 11 games. Yeah. I mean, no. Listen, to play this sloppily at the most important defensive position on a baseball diamond, along with catcher and center, it's untenable. This cannot go on forever. I understand. And I'm not making an excuse. I'm just trying to add a little bit of context to not even a narrative, because it is true, to a storyline that has now been a little hijacked. It's like Anthony Volpe stinks. No. Anthony Volpe stinks at catching the baseball.
Well, that's different.
Right now, Anthony Volpe is starting to hit the hell out of the baseball.
Saying Volpe stinks is different than
But that's what everybody's saying.
No. That's different than broken. I never once said
I'm not saying you with that. But everybody's telling me Anthony Volpe stinks.
Well, that to me is different. If they're saying that, then you could add that argument and saying, well, I don't think he stinks. I think he's still got potential. I would argue that he's still got potential. Sending him, and that's why I was trying to reiterate this yesterday. Saying you want to send somebody down is not saying that it's over. There's a difference between what we were saying about LeMahieu or Hicks or Gallo versus what we were saying about Volpe or even throwing Torres. Like, in Torres, they need to move on because he just wasn't mentally ever going to be there. We knew what type of player he is. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I want to fix Volpe because there's a lot there that is worth salvaging. He's still a young player. It's year 3. He's progressively gotten worse, and he continues to go out there and make routine errors. They need to fix him. That's my issue. I never said he stinks. I like Volpe. I still think he's got potential. I'm worried that they are ruining Anthony Volpe by continuing to throw him out there. The home run's a great sign.
Yep.
You hope he can work through it. Let's see what happens today. Hold our breath, cross our fingers that he gets through today. Whew, we made a routine play. Oh, okay, got a base hit. Like, we're nursing him along. This is the major league trying to win a World Series.
But you can't, this is where I push back. You can't use the word ruin when he's doing what he did last night. Because that's just,
even the worst players hit home runs. Like, come on.
The what?
Even the worst players hit home runs.
Yeah, but I mean, not off a stud closer, when you're down a run and after a horrendous, two run home run that your closer just gave up, and when he banged 452 the previous night. What do you mean, come on?
Give him a trophy. No,
I'm not saying that.
Chris, you ever heard of Chris Jones before, baseball player? Chris Jones?
Chris Jones?
Yeah.
I don't know if I know Chris Jones from Brooklyn.
He was a pinch hitter extraordinaire. Used to wear number 5.
For the Mets?
Yeah. And he even hit a big home run in the 9th inning to tie a game.
Did he win a gold glove? No. Okay. Did he steal 25 bases? Okay, did he hit 23 home runs in the season? Did he hit a grand slam in a World Series? This is all I'm saying.
I don't know what you're saying. You're hanging on to a home run.
I'm hanging on to the fact that he's a hot hitter right now.
Dude, he's hitting .217.
Sal, but you're looking at the totality of the season.
Three seasons.
Okay, but hold on. Then be consistent, because you're the guy who's telling me that Lewis Robert is on a hot streak, which is why he's more attractive, but 2 months ago you didn't like him. So which one is it?
Well,
because he's on a 6-week tear, he's suddenly more attractive to you now, but when he was hitting .204, I don't know if I like him. Which one is it?
Well, there's a big difference here.
His season stats aren't good.
No, dude, it's not about that. And by the way, I told you I'd rather have Brandon Lau, but it's not about that.
He didn't tell me Brandon Lau 2 months ago. He told me 2 days ago.
Did Volpe make a clean play last night, or did he make another error?
He made a couple of clean plays.
Did he make another error?
Yeah, of course
he did. So then stop talking about the home run and talk about the error.
I can't.
Why?
Because it's
you're focusing on, like, I don't know why. How do you think Robert is relevant to Anthony Volpe's conversation?
Because you're bringing up, it's incredibly relevant. What you're missing is you're choosing to ignore.
No, I'm not.
No, you are, though. You're bringing up, you keep going back to, he's hitting .217. I know what he's hitting. I understand that. But when you are in the middle of what I think
will be
the early stages of a hot streak, I'm not sending him down to the minors. That's idiotic.
Did I ever once say Robert hit a home run, the Mets should go get him? That's what you're saying. Volpe hit a home run. Keep him up here. Roll with him. And by the way, you never said send him down.
I never said send him down. I've always stood by that.
You did say sit him yesterday.
I did say, and I would even sit him today and let him DH.
Okay, well,
I'm not saying there's no problem. Yeah. We have different methods of, the methodology of fixing him is where you and I disagree.
No.
I'm not sending him down.
I think the difference is you're reacting to his power surge as of late.
But also his base running. There's other things that he's been doing, Sal.
If that's good enough for you, that's fine. He hit some home runs. His base running is good. I mean, it's good enough for Boone. Good enough for the Yankees. It's not good enough for me.
Hey, I get it. I don't think you're alone. All I'm saying is
he can't make a routine play.
We make it seem like, if they don't send him down or if they don't banish him and get him out of public view, little tiny Anthony Volpe's going to melt like a piece of ice on the concrete in July. Got news for you. He's actually showing me something because he's trying to fight out of this. The easiest thing would be 1-for-14, 9 Ks, I can't hit, let me throw my helmet, let me wallow in misery, I suck, I'm done, didn't work out, I'm not a major leaguer. This young man is trying to plow through what's got to be, times a million, the most embarrassing sequence in his young baseball life. And when you get embarrassed, and when you start to unravel, there's two choices, dude. Whether you're a 7-year-old kid trying to learn math or a 25-year-old, 20-year-old trying to be shortstop for the Yankees, you either crumble or you elevate. And to me, I'm seeing enough signs of Volpe elevating, and that's why I got his back.